Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
So close.
Good.
Yeah, so this is going to be like another chat episode.
Yeah.
I enjoy these because...
Me too.
This is obviously a very structured way to run a party, but let's just say you were having a party and someone said, oh, do you want to talk about this? Like, I'd be loving it.
Well, yeah, it's like a themed party.
Yeah.
It's not like a themed episode where it takes a couple hours of research and story writing. It's more like... Oh, come over, have a drink, and let's talk about murder.
Yeah, so we are going to chat about unsolved crimes and what we think happened.
Yes, we are. We both have different ones. Unlike last time we had a chat where it was like we both accidentally picked the same person, which worked out well anyway.
Yeah, and you know what? That was just a super interesting case. That was he called Russell Williams? Was that his name?
Yeah. Colonel Russell Williams and how he got caught.
Again, Google the photos and it's just him in a training bra, basically, that he's stolen from someone's house.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Gross.
It's like, yeah.
Don't Google it.
Don't Google it if you're at work.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that. Although you could watch his interrogation video, which is what our other chat episode
is
about.
That's pretty safe for work. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
before that, do you have any news or anything? I just wanted to give an update about the bloody carcass in my yard.
Oh my god, what is it? Mate, it sounds like Halloween came early in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I had to clean it up. It was the most disgusting thing. I didn't want my dog to get into it, which is why I didn't just leave it.
Oh god, dogs make me feel I love them, but they make me feel fucking sick sometimes. The disgusting shit that they do.
I was talking to someone and they were like, it might have not have been a coyote, it might have been an owl or like some bird.
What is this,
prey.
The staircase?
Great reference.
Thanks, mate.
But I'm saying this because I'm looking on the ground, I'm seeing the carnage on the ground, and I see it lead over to my car, and there's fur and blood and guts all over the windshield of my car. Like, I thought a coyote just had a midnight snack sitting on the windshield of my car. It was disgusting.
That's horrific. I would, if I had to do that, I would just go straight in with a power hose and just hose all that shit into the street away from me and be like, I don't know whose problem that is now, but it's not mine.
I tried to, but because it was sitting in the California sun, it was just onto my car. So
oh,
that wasn't the grossest part though. The grossest part was picking up the limbs and the head.
You
of
must
a squirrel.
A squirrel. I'm gonna say squirrel. You must have a vague idea if you put this thing back together what it would have been.
I only know because I had to get the head.
Oh god, it's making me feel a bit gippy.
It's a little, I'm sorry.
Sorry if anyone's eating.
I have to share it. I have to share it.
Problem shared is a problem halved.
About it. Yeah. It was in my yard and I was either I can hit these a golf ball outside of my yard and let someone else deal with it.
That's my option. Anything just to get it away from my area of responsibility.
I really tried to listen to notes because I was texting her the whole time. Just gearing myself up.
No photos though, which I'm grateful for.
No. Why do I want to remember this? I don't.
I couldn't help it. I'd have to take a photo.
Eventually I got a plastic bag from a shop and used a stick to
if anyone was watching you. What the fuck is that woman
if
doing?
If anyone was watching
me. It's the worst CSI cleanup ever. God, CSI, I've really lost it.
Also making really, really weird noises while I was doing it. Because I was like, ew. No, like, I can't do this.
First day on the job.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be putting that in an evidence bag?
It was. I was using a little stick. I couldn't even put my hands, near it. I was using a stick to, hit it into a bag.
And then hose off the remnants, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, gold star for you, Rach, because I would have...
Thanks.
I would have found the first man I could find and go, fuck feminism.
Excuse
I'd have been
me,
like...
sir.
Oh, please help me. I can't do... I would have gone full maid in distress just so I didn't have to touch that fucking skank. And the thing is,
I have...
men, if you give them a job, they'll be like, yeah, no, of course. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. And then on this side, they'll be like, ew!
Oh, totally. They won't show it.
No.
I think I had, in this situation, I was like, I have too much pride to be like, oh, please, sir, help me. My pride overcame my disgustedness.
Overcame your gag reflex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's my update from last week.
Well, good for you.
Episode.
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
Scraping that carcass in a bag. This is what we threw ourselves in front of the king's horse for.
Yeah.
All right. To deal with our own disgusting mess.
What the suffragettes fought for.
Yeah, 100%. No, I've had a really nice day. I've been to see my nephew, which is lovely. And then I saw my mum as well. And I went to a place called Home Bargains, which you probably don't have there. But it's so hard to explain what's in there. It's like the first, I do it by aisles. So the first aisle would be shampoo and conditioner, but huge bottles that are $2.99.
Oh, okay.
The second row would be Halloween costumes for kids. It sells just piddly crap. And you come out there and you spent £20 quid and you don't even know what on. It's just candles and dog food.
That's similar to Walmart or Target.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they also sell it in bulk, if it's big bottles of shampoo,
there is a sort of
Costco.
There is a bit of a bulk buy element to it in places, but not everywhere.
Okay.
You could get 48 dog chew sticks for £5 rather than a packet with 10 in is a pound, or you can get 40. It's kind of that vibe. I was going to buy a massive box of dentist sticks, and then I was like, do you need those? So I just got
this will last 12 years.
It would, but then I was like, no, you have to store it. That's the problem, isn't it? You have to store stuff like that.
Yeah.
I made Carly purchase with me a huge box of washing detergent, and it's a huge box of powder. I'm not joking. It took her 6 months to get through it. She was she was just buying her own nice one, and I was just still we had to keep it under the stairs, and I had to decant it out into a smaller thing, and she was still cracking on with the detergent. I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's true though.
It was £4
can't afford homes. I go to Costco maybe once a year because I can't fit things in my
house. The thing, you have to have a barn or the house from Home Alone.
Yeah. Or a basement, or an attic, or you and I both, we have rental homes.
Yeah.
You live in an apartment, I live in a house, but it's still, I haven't bought this house.
No.
And I don't get to choose the storage that is given to me.
No.
So.
It's about 2 cupboards we've got, if that, of space. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, and everything is, placed in there. And if, you even blew on it, it would collapse. Everything is, you couldn't get a fucking playing...
Stuffed
you couldn't
in.
Get a playing card between, the Hoover and and the massive box of detergent that I bought. Okay, right, let's crack on.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay.
Let's talk about unsolved cases. Okay, so I Googled this, right?
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, what do I want to talk about? And the top 10 unsolved cases, I feel we know what they are. And I'm going to name two of them.
We know what they are, and or we know what happened, or you think I could guess what they are?
We know. You straight away, I know you can give one word answers.
Okay.
For these two main ones. Okay. That I thought, I was like, why are people still... Okay, one of them I understand, but the other one, and this is like a Times Magazine, like top 10 unsolved cases.
Okay,
first one. I know you know JonBenet Ramsey.
The brother did it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Burke.
Second one.
Bernard or whatever the fuck he's called. Burke.
Burke. Bernard.
Murdering little fucking weird kid. Let's just say that.
Do you ever wonder, JonBenet is such a weird name too.
It's a mix between her dad's name and... isn't her dad called John Ramsey?
John.
Yeah, it is. There is a meaning to it. So was named after her father by combining his first and middle names. So JonBenet Ramsey is his name. So he called her JonBenet. Like
they've tried to make it French. And
yeah.
Their last name isn't even French.
No, it's extremely weird. It is extremely weird. Yeah. And it's not like they even live in Canada like somewhere with a French like influence. They live in Boulder, Colorado.
Right. So anyways, we know the brother did it. If you don't think that, tell us why, because every other theory is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
This one is the most one that makes the most sense.
And like 99% of the time, the murderer is somebody that you know. And yeah, there's an extremely good documentary on it called The Murder of JonBenet, and it's on YouTube, and I've like sent it to a few people who've actually said like, oh, can you send me that? And yeah, in that there's Jim Clemente and another British woman who does a lot of crime shows, and they just do a deep dive into like what happened, and they use, is it called Werner Fritz, who's a really famous forensic pathologist, I think, and he worked on the There's Something Wrong with Aunt Diane. He basically had a look at Diane's pathology report and said like she was drunk and high, and
Werner Schweitz,
yeah, and the
close.
And her husband is like, no, we want a second opinion. It's like, he is the opinion. He is like top of the range.
I know. That's just sad, though. It's like, you know that the husband is just in denial.
Yeah. There's loads of experts on that YouTube program, and they're like, the most likely outcome is that it was her brother.
Mm.
And
yeah,
they know their shit, so I don't see why they would.
Makes so much sense.
They wouldn't, like, point the finger at a living person if they didn't have fucking good reason to.
And a child at that.
Yeah. At the time, yeah.
Okay, second one. Remember, this is unsolved. Second one on that list was Nicole Brown, Ron Goldman.
That is not unsolved. OJ did it. What if I did it?
I know.
He bought a book out called What If I Did It? I mean, fucking hell.
It's unsolved in that
no one's been prosecuted for it.
Or that... he was, but he was proven not guilty, so technically he's not the killer.
Yeah, but then he was found guilty in a civil case. They should be
finding the other one. Yeah. Anyways, I was like, why is this on this list?
Uh-huh.
It's like a Times Magazine.
What,
like,
OJ sympathizers list. Are knocking around Time Magazine?
Yeah, he's got a really good PR team. I would be so angry, though, if I were Nicole Brown or Ron Goldman's families, and not only do you see the murderer is free, but he's like living a good life.
Isn't he in prison now, like, though?
He was in prison and then he got out.
Oh, did he get
and
out now?
He just plays golf.
He's out. There's an amazing interview with Ruby Wax. Do you know her?
Yes.
So
I do.
She's like,
why don't you explain who
she's
she is?
British, but she's American. She's got an American accent. So I think she had like one British parent and one American parent or something like that. But anyway, she's quite famous in England, and she's on like panel shows. She was like Louis Theroux before Louis Theroux came around. She had this series called Ruby Wax Meets, and she met like really fucking weird celebrities. So it was kind of a bit like Louis Theroux in that she would meet people who were controversial, but she interviewed OJ and like that's bone chilling to watch because he just...
Is it really? I've never seen this.
It is so weird. She just like, she doesn't give a fuck. Like she's just like, come on, did you do it? Like just tell me if you did it. Oh, so this is where you were riding around in your white Bronco. Like she just doesn't shy away from asking people questions that you want to ask them. And I think she also meets Bill Crosby and she also meets Trump.
Oh.
And she said, Trump is the most terrifying person I've ever been around in my life.
Really? Yeah,
and you can watch that interview as well. He's so horrible to her.
I think
he like
remember
belittles
that,
her and like is just like really dismissive and mean.
Is it like recent or?
And it's way before he was going to run for president.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, way before. Yeah. But he still got Roger Stone as his advisor because he's also, she goes on a private plane with Trump and Robert Stone is there as well. And she, Roger Stone, and she meets him. And she also meets Melania before she's married to Trump. She's just his girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
And
I need to watch this.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. who else she meets? She meets Madonna. She meets Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey's a fucking maniac. Like, they're just like, they're just like screaming over each other and like just being nuts. It's Google her and watch her documentary. They're so good.
Okay, Ruby Wax. Yeah.
So who else is on the list?
Those were the main two where I was like, come on.
Yeah.
We got Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, that's fair. There's a lot of speculation on who he could be, but nobody has any, for me, nobody has any solid contenders.
Yeah. Next is the Zodiac Killer.
Now, they say they found
who
that is,
talk about,
right?
But no, I mean... I think it's not, we can't trust it.
For me, like, I need more evidence. They've basically named a random guy who's now dead, and they say that he has a scar on his forehead, and that's exactly what all the sketches have. But loads of people have scars on their foreheads. I don't know.
I have a scar on my forehead.
Yeah, or it could just be a play of the light. They've only got shit old photos of him.
It could be so many things. The other thing was, I read something from Billy Jensen, and he said that the guy that was really pushing for the Zodiac Killer, like, to announce this, was also the same guy who wanted to announce something else that Billy Jensen was working on. And at the time, Billy Jensen was like, we're definitely not ready. Like,
haven't got enough.
We don't have all of our facts. Yeah. And this guy was still pushing for it and pushing for it. And it sounds like it's a similar situation with the Zodiac Killer.
Is it the Long Island serial killer?
No, it wasn't. It was something from a while ago. It was like a serial rapist. I can't remember what. But go on to Billy Jensen's Twitter or Instagram and he explains it all.
Okay, cool. I will do.
Billy Jensen explains it all.
Yeah.
Next one is on this list, Tupac and Biggie.
They pretty much know who did that though, right?
Because there's
they think they know.
There's like speculation.
It's like a gang, members of a rival gang, or
they think that, but then they also think it might have had to do with the government or
is there a few conspiracy
like
theories?
Maybe I'll cover it.
Yeah,
there's a couple of conspiracies.
I just can't find myself being interested in it, and I don't know why. I think it's because I just think it's like gang killings. Like rappers and people in that sphere have like rivalries, like, you know, like 50 Cent was shot a load of times, and I'm like, it doesn't like grab me attention wise the fact that you had this stupid beef with some other gang and they shot you. The reasoning is so, like, silly.
Sometimes it is, yeah. And it's also, like, guys in their 20s and sometimes guys in their late teens. And it's like, what were you angry about in your
idiots.
Early 20s
like,
that?
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So it kind of, like, never really grabbed me, the whole Biggie and Tupac thing. But, yeah, you should cover it because I can't be asked, but I also want to know. So
you want to know. And then there's the case of the disembodied feet, which there's a really good favorite murder episode about that. Yeah, West Coast, I think. I'm not sure. Listen to My Favorite Murder for that.
Yeah.
And Tylenol poisoning.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Sneaking stuff in there. The death of Edgar Allan Poe. I know nothing about this.
This might be worth another mini episode or like another go at.
And then the women of, I can't say this, Ciudad Juarez. Remember I told that story about the femicide, basically. Yes, that could be so many exactly things.
That, and that could be so many different men or so many different people. Yes, exactly. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Not necessarily like one serial killer. It's just that they know they'll get away with it. So fuck it. If you want to kill a woman, then do it now and here. Yeah.
Right. So those were the top 10 unsolved crimes from Time magazine.
Well.
And I feel like.
Time magazine. I don't know.
We know a couple of them.
I think you threw a few duds in there.
Yeah, go back to the drawing board, Time.
If that is your real name.
So who are you going to talk about? Because there was one on this list that I didn't mention because it was the one that I was going to talk about.
Well, I was going to talk about, because it's like, one, I love getting like really into this case because there's so many elements to it. And two, there's been a recent development. So I was going to talk about Maura Murray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes. So I don't know if you want to like, I've got like a timeline basically of what happened. If for people that don't know, it's always good to have a refresh.
Yeah. Give me a refresh because I know the story, but our listeners might not. And
yeah. And there's so many like mysterious things that happen and you know, really just weird stuff that occurs before she, before she disappears. So basically, I'm going to start on the night of. So on the night of her disappearance, which was February the 9th, 2004, Maura Murray was 21 years old. She was a nursing student at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst, and she drove north. So that's like, that's basically when she disappeared. So before she left the university campus, she emailed her professors and her work supervisor, writing that she was taking a week off due to a death in the family, but there was no death in the family. So she just made up an excuse. And then at 7:27 p.m., a local woman reported a car accident on a sharp corner of Route 112 adjacent to her home. A passing motorist who also lived nearby stopped at the scene and asked the woman driving the car if she needed assistance. She declined, claiming to have called roadside assistance. So then, upon arriving home several minutes later, the motorist reported the accident to emergency services at 7:46. Law enforcement arrived at the scene, but Maura was gone. So her car was still there. Mm. Basically, police traced the vehicle and they found that it was Maura Murray who owned the car. And initially, they treated her as a missing person on the belief that she may have wanted to disappear voluntarily because she had made travel preparations, but she hadn't told anyone of any of her friends and family or her boyfriend that she was going to leave. And there was no obvious evidence of foul play, like no blood, no like drag marks, anything like that. But then in 2009, her case was given to the New Hampshire Cold Case Division and the authorities started handling it as a suspicious missing persons case. So first of all, they were like, no, she just disappeared of her own free will. And then later on, I suspect there was no proof of life. So like no phone, no contact with her family, no credit card activity. So they said, okay, this must be suspicious. So on the night that she left, she took $200 out of her bank in cash. And there were open bottles of booze in her car. There was also a rag in the exhaust of her car. And like, first of all, that looked like some sort of suicide attempt. But then they later found out that her dad had told her to do that because her exhaust was broken. And he was like, this is not a permanent fix. You need to do this and then go and get your car, like drive it to the garage and get it fixed. Don't drive around like this.
And she didn't.
But she didn't. She just drove around like it anyway.
Yeah.
So here are the weird things that happened before she disappeared. So in November 2003, 3 months before her disappearance, Maura admitted to using a stolen credit card to order food from several restaurants. So the charge was continued in December to be dismissed after 3 months' good behaviour. So she's basically in trouble with the law and like she's got eyes on her because of this. And then on the evening of February the 5th, 2004, Maura spoke on the phone with her older sister Kathleen while she was on duty at a campus security job. They discussed Kathleen's relationship problems with her fiance. Around 10:30 p.m., while still on her shift, Maura broke down in tears, and when her supervisor arrived at her desk, Maura was just completely zoned out, no reaction at all. She was unresponsive. So the supervisor escorted Maura back to her dorm at around 1:20 p.m. And when asked what was wrong, Murray said two words, "My sister." So that's weird. And then the contents of the call remained unknown until October 2017, when Kathleen publicly explained the conversation. Kathleen was a recovering alcoholic and she had been discharged from a rehab clinic. And on the way home, her fiance took her to a liquor store, which caused her to have an emotional breakdown. So she was discussing this with Maura on the phone, and then that really upset Maura. And then on the Saturday before she disappeared, her dad, Fred, arrived in Amherst. He told investigators that he and Maura went car shopping that afternoon because she had wrecked her dad's car. So he lent her a car and then she fucked it up. So not only is she in trouble for the credit card charges, she's also like done a motor vehicle accident and needs a new car. So dad just buys her one.
She's just having a bad
She's having a
year.
fucking bad couple of like months, basically, culminating in her disappearing. So he later went on to dinner with a friend of his. Murray dropped her father off at his motel room, borrowing his Toyota Corolla. She returned to campus to attend a dorm party. She arrived at 10:30 p.m. and at 2:30 a.m. on Sunday, February 8th, she left the party. At 3:30 a.m. En route to her father's motel, she struck a guardrail on Route 9 in Hadley, causing nearly 10 grand's worth of damage to her father's car. Sorry, I got that wrong. So her dad lent her the car, lent her his car because she didn't have one, and then she fucked it up on the day that they were going car shopping, basically. The responding officer wrote an accident report, but there's no documentation of sobriety tests, so she could have been drunk, but they didn't think about that. Maura drove to her father's motel and stayed in his room for the rest of the morning. And then at 10 to 5 that morning, there was a cell phone call placed to her boyfriend from her dad's phone. The participants and contents of the call are unknown. Later that Sunday, Fred learned the damages to his vehicle would be covered by his insurance. So he rented a car, dropped Maura off at university, and departed for Connecticut. I mean, I assume he was pretty pissed off at her, even if he was
I'm
like,
sure.
He's being a good dad and he's dropping off and stuff, but he's still like, "I'm fucking furious at you for going out and getting pissed and wrecking my car." At 11.
Is this timeline what has been newly
No.
released?
This has been around for a
Oh,
while.
okay.
I'll tell you the newly released news. I don't know if you know it. If you don't know it, that's quite cool.
I
So
don't.
they so 11:30 that night, Fred called Maura to remind her to obtain accident forms from the Registry of Motor Vehicles. They agreed to talk again on Monday night to discuss the forms and fill out the insurance claim via the phone, but Monday night is the night that she went missing. No, sorry, when did she go missing? On that Monday she went missing. So they never got to do that call. So she basically calls her boyfriend and they're fine. And she also uses her personal computer to search MapQuest for directions to the Berkshires and Burlington, Vermont.
What's there?
Well, this is like part of speculation that there was a party that she wanted to go to. Oh, sorry. I said that she called her boyfriend. She texted her boyfriend at 1 p.m. No, sorry. She emailed her boyfriend, "I love you more, stud. I got your messages, but honestly, I don't feel like talking to much of anyone. I promise to call you today, though. Love you, Maura."
Do you ever think about if anyone ever goes through your emails or texts, it could be the last,
Oh, God.
what are the last messages you sent
Yeah.
to your boyfriend or your
Just
best
stupid
friend?
shit. Tom left me in his house today and he was like, "Hey, so what are you getting up to today?" And I wrote back, "Going through your stuff and sticking your toothbrush up my bum."
And
Imagine
those were
that's the
her
last
last
thing.
words.
I go missing and the police are like, "This is her last message to the guy that she's seeing."
It's displayed on the news and everything. Talissa went missing on August 25th,
After sending a text.
2021. She sent him
that red.
People speculate whether this was a joke.
The toothbrush has been tested. There seemed to be no disturbance in the house. Oh, God. Yeah, so this is why they think that she disappeared voluntarily, because she packed clothes, toiletries, textbooks, and birth control pills.
Mm.
But, like, even if you're not going to go and see your boyfriend, you'd still take your birth control pills.
Yeah, you have to.
You can't just stop taking them randomly.
That's normal.
Just because you don't see your boyfriend.
But that is something that you would take with you for more than a day. If you were going to go somewhere for more than a day,
yeah,
you would take those.
Very true. So, yeah, there's also speculation that she was going to go and, like, stay in a cabin, just lock herself in a cabin, basically, in the mountains for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she called a number which provides recorded information about booking hotels in Stowe, Vermont. So they think that she was just going to go to a hotel and, like, have a bit of time on her own. So she withdrew $280 from an ATM at 3:40. CCTV showed she was alone. So they caught her on the CCTV getting her money out.
Okay.
At a nearby liquor store, she purchased about $40 worth of alcoholic beverages, including Bailey's, Irish cream, Kahlua, and vodka. That would make a nice cocktail. That's like a white Russian she's basically making.
Yeah.
And a box of
Pretty much. A
box of Franzia wine. I don't know what Franzia is. Is that an American brand?
That's a box of cheap wine.
Okay. So security footage caught her doing that. And again, she's alone. And then at some point in the day, she also picked up accident report forms from the motor vehicle place. So she intended to call her dad because she got the forms. Right. So
she's running errands and no change or difference to what she was doing other than, like, packing up her books and birth control.
Yeah, like, to me, that seems like they seem like the actions of somebody that is just going about their life. Like, she's not closing bank accounts. She's not.
She's not doing anything weird, like she's not writing weird emails that are like, oh, you know, maybe I'll see you or maybe I won't. Or it's just a regular day of running errands.
She's like speaking to her boyfriend. Right. She's got those things for her dad. Like, it's for all intents and purposes, it seems to me the theory that she's heading to a party seems pretty fair. Yeah. Although the taking out $280 seems a bit strange. That's a lot of money for a college student, unless she's thinking about getting drugs, like $100 worth of coke.
That's possible. Or if she's going to, like, upstate Vermont where there aren't any, like, cash machines.
Mm-hmm. Also a good point.
There could be that too.
Yeah, good point. So she left Amherst between 4 and 5. She called to check her voicemail at 4:37, and that was the last recorded use of her cell phone. To date, there is no indication that she informed anyone of her destination or any evidence that she had chosen one. That's, like, the part of the puzzle that's missing, is where she was actually
maybe
going.
Maybe she was just thinking about it. Like, that's, maybe she was like, maybe I'll go for a drive and, like, find a hotel somewhere because I need to get away.
And she got cash so
or
that...
Or maybe I'll go to this party.
And she got cash so no one can tell where she is.
Maybe.
So she could just pay for a hotel in cash.
She just got cash. Yeah, maybe she just got cash out to just be like, I'd rather use this quick. It's quick and easy. No questions asked. Like, you know, I've done that before. I'm just going to get cash out. Here you go.
Yeah. So... At the scene of the crash. So this is the weird thing, right? So according to the 911 log, the woman who reported the crash is said to have seen a man smoking a cigarette inside the car. However, she later stated that she had not seen a man nor a person smoking a cigarette, but rather she'd seen what appeared to have been a red light glowing from inside the car, potentially a cell phone.
Okay.
Around the same time, another neighbor saw the car as well. Someone walking around the vehicle, she witnessed a third neighbor pull up alongside the vehicle. So there's just really, like, spotty accounts of what actually happened and who everybody saw. So there was a guy that actually went up to Maura and said, do you want me to help you? So he offered to telephone for help, and she asked him not to call the police. One police report says she pleaded for him not to call the police. And said that she'd already called the AA or the AAA. But the AAA said they've got no record of her calling them. So she lied to the passerby. Mm-hmm. He said that she was not bleeding or injured, but she was cold and shivering, which makes sense because it's like fucking freezing in Vermont.
Yeah.
And then knowing there was no cell reception in the area, the bus driver continued home and called the police anyway, because he was like, she's right. lying.
She needs help.
Yeah, she's just being like proud, basically. And his call was received by the sheriff's department at 7:43, but he was unable to see Murray's car while he made the call. But he did notice several cars pass on the road before the police arrived. Another yeah. local resident driving home from work claims she passed by the scene around 7:37 and saw a police SUV parked face to face with Murray's car. She pulled over briefly and did not see anyone outside or inside the cars and decided to continue home. This witness's statement contradicts the official police log, which has Haverhill police arriving 9 minutes later. Again, you could be mixed up about the night. That was, all those roads yeah. are windy and look the same. There's proof that the police were there because there's body cam footage, there's phone calls recorded. This woman has just said something really random that contradicts all other evidence. So, like, I don't know how much I believe right. her.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so the police arrived at the scene. No one was in the car, but the car had impacted a tree on the driver's side, severely damaging the left headlight and pushing the car's radiator into the fan, rendering it inoperable. The car's windshield was cracked on the driver's side and both airbags had been deployed. The car was locked. So it's like she tried to get the car going again, didn't work, and she thought, fuck, and, like, walked away from it and locked it.
Go walk. Yeah.
Yeah. So inside and outside the car, he discovered red stains that looked to be red wine. So that box exploded. Inside the car, the officer found an empty beer bottle and a damaged box of Franzia wine on the rear seat. In addition, he found the AAA card issued to Murray. Can you hear this dog? So there were blank accident report forms, gloves, CDs, makeups, driving directions to Burlington, a Not Without Peril book, and a book about mountain climbing in the White Mountains. Missing were Murray's debit card, credit cards, cell phone, none of which has been located since her disappearance. The police later reported some of the bottles of liquor were also missing. So it's almost like she just grabbed her booze, grabbed her purse, and left.
Yeah. I'm going to go look for a hotel, or I'm going to go to this party. I'm just going to get someone to pick me up.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I kind of thought. Yeah. There's loads of history of, like, people, they looked for her. They got cadaver dogs. They got infrared stuff. They continuously, like, combed the area. And then the new bit of evidence is that on the 17th of September this year, the New Hampshire State Police said in a statement this week that troopers, police in Lincoln, New Hampshire, the state archaeologist, the state medical examiner, and the US Forest Service were investigating the discovery of human bone fragments in the area of Loon Mountain in Lincoln, New Hampshire. Oh. They were unearthed during a recent construction project. An investigation is ongoing and diagnostic testing on the bone fragments is pending. To include, can you hear this dog? It's unbelievable.
I just heard a cough. Is that what the dog, was that the dog?
She's unbelievable. So that's to include determining the historical nature, age, and possible sex of the bone fragments. And this is, some reports say that it's 30 miles southeast of her car crash, and other reports say it's 16 miles southeast.
Okay.
The point is, if she was walking, that's probably about as far as she'd be able to get.
16 miles, yeah, maybe.
If
it was cold,
on a fucking good day. She was like shivering near her car, so she can't have been dressed for the weather.
Can I tell you my theory?
Yes.
I have two theories. So she either walked away and it just went badly for her. Maybe she passed out. Maybe she, I don't know, she got lost, something like that. Maybe hit her head, died, and an animal ate her. Second theory, car broke down, a couple of people stopped to help her. Maybe there was one person who stopped who just grabbed her and stuffed her in his car and drove away and killed her.
Yeah, I think those are the only two viable options.
I think more likely it's the second one, because if she had died of natural causes and an animal ate her,
yeah,
there would still be remnants. There would still be some trace of something, even if that animal cleaned it up, there would still be something.
Also, like, the bone fragment that they found, like, 17 miles from where she was, that's, like, a wooded area where I'm sure a lot of people go to fucking dump bodies. Those leg fragments could be fucking anything. It could be anyone.
But you said it's under a construction site, right?
Or during a recent construction project, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that makes sense. Like, if somebody was buried and, like, yeah, you know, because that happens a lot, doesn't it? Where people murder somebody and then they bury them, like, because they know that there's going to be construction there. So it'll be concreted over and never be found.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened with, I covered a girl on here. Oh, her name, like, really escapes me, but she basically disappeared from a nightclub, do you remember? And they found her remains, like, near Junction 16 of the M4, because they were doing, like, roadworks there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I'm sure they uncover a lot of bodies.
It makes you think, like, yeah, anytime there's construction, especially in a rural area, and they find a body, that could be, like, from 200 years ago, some pioneer in the mountains.
Yeah.
Or it could be a murder victim from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Could be anything.
Bone fragments from a leg is what they think it is. That's so
interesting.
I mean, obviously her sister and family are still around, so they can just DNA test it. But
yeah.
And I mean, it was in September. Yeah, it was on the 17th of September, so it's not even really been a month yet, has it? Oh, it has been. It's 25th today. Just over
it's been
a month.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long it was gonna DNA results take.
Or how big the pieces are, or they could be really messed up and hard to work with.
Yeah, I mean, the people that found them would have been construction workers, right?
Probably.
So you would think they're not like a fucking archaeologist, like,
right?
They shouldn't know to that degree.
They're gonna be like, oh shit.
Yeah. But anyway, in conclusion, like, I completely agree with you. I think she just wandered off, and she was either picked up by somebody, like, she, like, hitchhiked and got in the wrong car, or she fell to the elements, basically.
There was a theory that one of the neighbors around that area might have also done something, but then they disproved that. So.
I think, didn't they say that she was going to be in a wardrobe in their house or something? And then they got, like, somebody living in the house was like, no, you can't look. And then finally they sold the house and moved out. And so they got to look in the house.
Right.
Yeah. And they were like, no, there's nothing there.
Well, they got dogs to go, and the dogs were interested in a specific area of the house.
Yeah.
So
it was kind of inclusive.
Which was the wardrobe or
I
think it was just like, this doesn't make sense.
Let's talk about your case, and I'm sorry I totally hogged all the time.
It's okay. Mine is definitely not as extensive as yours. But also I got to talk about all the other unsolved cases. So that was my part too. So this was on the Times list of unsolved cases, top 10, the Black Dahlia.
That does deserve to be in there.
Definitely. It definitely does. But it's another one that I think we know the answer to.
Yeah, 100%. Well,
and lots of people do.
Did you listen to The Root of Evil podcast?
Yes.
Highly recommend to everybody that hasn't listened to it. Mm-hmm. Fucking great.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I started listening to another podcast.
Is it about the Black Dahlia?
It's really good. No. It's really good. It's called Against All Odds.
Ooh.
It's from Wondery. It's really good. Have you heard of
it? Yeah, I have. Isn't there a couple of seasons? Like, they cover different stuff. Or is it just
one? There's like 40 episodes. So wow. I was like, great. I am binging this. Yeah, it's about a plane crash in 1972, and it had a full rugby team, a Uruguayan rugby team, and they were flying to like play a game, and it crashed in the Andes Mountains.
Is this what Alive is based on?
Yes.
Ugh, that film is such a good film.
I haven't watched it.
Rachel! Watch it fucking immediately. It's like haunted me from my childhood.
Really?
Yeah, I can't forget it. Okay. Like, it's just etched into my mind because it's just such a powerful film. And I watched it when I was like 10, which was completely inappropriate. It.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, it's a pretty harrowing story. It's about, like, I just started, so I don't know who survives or what happens. But yeah, listen to it. Against it ain't all good, odds, mate. It sounds like someone.
Spoiler! Okay. It's horrible.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay. Black Dahlia. Elizabeth Short is known as the Black Dahlia. She was a woman found murdered in Lemire Park neighborhood of Los Angeles. The case became highly publicized due to the graphic nature of the crime, which included her corpse having been mutilated and bisected at the waist.
Eesh.
And she was found in like the morning by a passerby who I think was either walking with their child or walking with a dog.
She was posed as well, right?
Beautiful woman. She was posed. Just
fucked up.
Not
fucked up scene.
Yeah, so creepy. And once you start looking into who potentially did it, you're like, there are too many matches to this. But here's something that I didn't know. So when she was first murdered and they put it out into the news that year or the year like following or, you know, the years following, over 60 people called in to say that they had done it.
Oh, God.
Which kind of messed up with somebody also actually, I think it was actually him. He wrote to the police and said, or no, he wrote to the newspaper and he said, great job covering this story. I'll have more info for you soon. And then he also sent in some of her belongings.
Oh my God.
Like a few days later. So I think that part is true, but then the 60 people calling in saying I did it did not help this at all. And then since then, even up till today, over 500 people have called in to say I've done this. Some people not even being born at the time of her murder.
That they have to, like, excuse me if I'm wrong, but I would hazard a guess that they're all men.
I would say 98% of those calls is most likely men.
I mean, what is wrong with you?
Yes.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'd love to know the percentage of that. That's a great, great
so much time on your
observation.
Hands. Too much time on your hands, some might say.
Dude, so many other better things to do with your life.
Yeah.
So let's just get straight into, because we don't have much time, mm-hmm. let's get into who we think actually did it.
Yeah. So I know who I think did it because, that podcast basically totally convinced me.
Yes, very convincing. And then there's the show as well that was based on the person in the podcast.
We once pushed
I Am the Night with Chris Pine.
Wow, I might have to give that a
watch.
Have
you watched that?
No, is it good?
It's pretty good. It's based on Root of Evil.
Is it quite American Horror Story?
No. No, it's not. It's more based on the woman who is in the interview in Root of Evil.
Okay.
And like her journey of
like discovering her.
It's
fucked
a really
up
interesting story because, yeah, her story is kind of messed up. So she grew up with she's white and she grew up with a black mother and she grew up thinking up until her like mid-teens that she was also black.
Yeah.
And then her mom told her that she wasn't and told her that she had family in Los Angeles. So she goes to Los Angeles to find her family, basically.
Okay.
And her supposed grandfather, mm-hmm. or maybe it's her
it's a grandfather,
is George Hodel, who we think murdered Elizabeth Short. And the I Am the Night series just kind of follows her weird journey and like how it's kind of creepy. And she meets Chris Pine.
Isn't her and her mum's like a fucking maniac who is... Oh, I don't want to be... I don't want to spoiler it, but yeah. Her mum... Her mum's crazy, basically. Yeah, who's...
Yes. Who she thinks is her mom.
Yeah. It's... It's so weird. Such a weird... You can't believe it's real.
It's such a crazy story. And then the podcast just goes further and further into it. And it just shows you how weird George Hodel was and how he is most likely the person that killed Elizabeth Short, because he was a doctor in LA. He knew people.
They can connect them, can't they? He had these weird
parties. And on top of all that, Steve Hodel, who was George Hodel's son, became an LAPD officer, and he looks into his family history and his dad, and looks into like old, you know, photos and family items, and he writes a book that kind of proves that his dad did it.
Yeah, so there are other haters that are like, oh, he's bullshitting, like, and just call him crazy, basically,
right?
But like I say, having heard the podcast, like, I have to agree with them. It's fucking convincing. Like, if he didn't kill her, he fucking killed someone, because he's a nut. Like, he is a nutbag.
Definitely.
And the stuff that went on at his house is not cool.
No. And I've been to that house.
Have you? I'm so and fucking it's very jealous. Cool. Can we try and go? How can we go?
Definitely. I'll see if there's any more weed parties there. That's how I went. That was before the pandemic, though, so I don't know if they had any more parties after that.
Well, hopefully not.
But yeah, it's a house. It's a massive house with all these different rooms and corridors and a big open space, but also like the basement where it supposedly happened.
Yeah.
Where he would perform, like, he would perform supposedly, what do you call them? Abortions, but like backstreet abortions.
That's a massive red flag and like a huge trend with serial killers, like John Christie.
Yes.
What's his name? Fred West. Like, they both had rumors that they were doing backstreet abortions. Like, I think it's just like a fucking creepy way to get a woman in a very compromising position, like, in front of you.
So vulnerable.
Yeah.
So vulnerable. And you have complete control. And
that should be on the true crime bingo. Performed at home abortions. Yes. Like, that is up there with creepy fucking serial killer traits.
Yeah. So there's a theory that Elizabeth Short went to George Hodel's home either as a party guest to one of his weird parties.
Mm-hmm.
Or because she needed, like, not a backstreet abortion, but like he did other like sexual health things, I think.
Yeah, well, there were rumor that she had a venereal disease.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. Either,
but those are the two theories.
I'm gonna get down such a Black Dahlia hole.
You should listen to the podcast. But yeah, just the fact that she might have had a venereal disease, so she had reason to go to his house and meet him. Otherwise, it's like she was in Hollywood. She was from Boston. She was just a young woman who was kind of living it up in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And why would she have any reason to meet George Hodel? So those are the two ways that she might have met him.
Yeah.
And he took advantage of her. Mm-hmm. Because he would also have weird sex parties where people would be drugged.
They're sex people. And
yeah. So something could have gone wrong there, or something.
She's seen something might have she shouldn't happened. Have seen. Met someone she shouldn't have met.
Yes.
At that party.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I don't think it was an accident, though, because how she was left was so precise. How she was murdered and left. I feel like you can't just be like, oh, she's seen the wrong thing. We have to kill her now, but let's do it in this really pretty way.
Yeah, while we're here, why not have a bit of fun with it?
Yeah. I think that it was probably planned.
Yeah, definitely. Also, there's a really good Jensen and Holes podcast about the Black Dahlia. I think it's like a two or three
Yes, I
parter,
forgot about that.
and Paul Holes
Yes.
looks at it from like a pathologist point of view and
Yes.
fucked it. Like, she had like a Chelsea smile, like the two sides of her mouth were split. There was like
Yeah.
semen in her stomach, like lots of fucked up shit happened to her before she died. And you can listen to the Jensen and Holes episodes to find out more about that. But it was a bit rich even for my blood. Like, it's a
Yeah.
horrible, horrible way to die.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my unsolved case this week. Get into the Black Dahlia hole.
I have to say, like, your one was way more interesting than my one in terms of fucked up shit that happened around it. I feel like Maura Murray was just a girl that was like at the end of her rope in terms of she kept fucking up her own life, and then she was like, oh my God, I can't actually take this anymore, and
Yeah.
ran off.
Well, we don't know. They're that they kind of do touch on that with Elizabeth Short about how she was partying in Hollywood and she didn't really know anyone, but she was going on lots of dates and she might have been at the end of her rope if she was, going to some weirdo's house
Yeah,
looking for
looking.
answers. We don't know.
She wants to make it, so she's taking risks and staying out. And
Yeah.
obviously, I'm not victim blaming, but I
Right.
think people in the past like have properly victim blamed her and
Oh,
said
yeah,
like, oh well, she
definitely.
was, going out with random men. Like, what did she expect was going to happen? And like, well, not that.
Right, yeah.
No one expects that.
No.
That's fucking crazy.
No. That's not her fault.
No, obviously not.
None of that is blamed on her. Yeah. So next time you're in LA,
We are
Talissa,
going.
we'll go to Lemire Park
Even if
and
we
we'll
just
go
drive
past
past it,
the George Hodel
that's
house.
enough for me. I'm
Yes.
happy just to do that.
Yes.
I'll be like, I'm like Billy Big Bollocks now, but if we go near it, I'll be like, I
Yeah.
okay, well, have a really good day at work, mate.
Thanks.
And yeah, I will speak to you next week.
Yeah, enjoy your week. Thanks for listening, everyone, and
Love you,
bye.
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 Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at @TransatCrimePod, Instagram at Transatlantic Crime, and on Facebook with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.